When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the channel. It's Denise Salcedo, and I am very, very excited to bring you this next interview. My guest for today is none other than Dylan Postel, aka Hornswoggle. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, how are you? Very, very good. Very good. Got my computer plugged in now. My son got me the charging cord, so we're all good. We're not going to die.
That's the perfect way to get it started. We don't want to die on this interview. I am so excited to have you on here. And the reason is that when I look back at like my favorite wrestling moments, I got to say, you are one of those faces that are in a bunch of them.
Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. It's man, 2003 till 17 years of craziness. And then just under 10 of those years working for the biggest company in the world, living my dream. So it's pretty awesome.
Exactly. Like, I got to say, like, just thinking about all of the things that you've done for the company and in the company has been absolutely incredible. But before we get into that portion of the interview, I do want to ask you how you've been spending this time, you know, with self-isolation, quarantine, and everything that's going on in the world right now.
It's the craziest time that any of us will ever live. That's for sure. And it's just, thankfully I have my son, he's 10, and it gives me something to do, you know, something extra, hanging out, whether it's just hanging out with him for the day or we go on a bike ride or we just do something. It passes the time a little better. The first 2 weeks was like, oh no, this is the worst thing ever. Like, shutdown.
Right.
Everyone's freaking out. Let's be honest, everyone bought the toilet paper and this, that, and the other thing that they don't need that's in their garage now that they're trying to sell on eBay for $1,000 for no reason. And it's so stupid. Like, it's so dumb.
It really is. I agree with you.
Nothing about COVID or quarantine at the time said, hey, you're going to poop a lot. Like, this is serious. Like, no, nothing about it said that. And so I'm very naive to all this. I will fully admit, my best friend, Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins, whatever you want to call him, he calls it the Wisconsin naivety in me. Mm-hmm. It just like, finally 2 weeks ago, I told him the story about something involving COVID and coronavirus. He goes, wow, it's finally hit Wisconsin, huh? And I said, yeah, it's finally hit. I don't worry about it like some, and maybe I should more, but I live by the motto, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And if I get sick, I get sick. I'm taking the precautions, this, that, and the other thing, but I can't help it. I'm not going to buy a bubble. I'm not going to buy a bubble and live in it. I'm just not. It's just not how I live my life.
Yeah, and I think everyone is definitely looking at this and making decisions. I mean, this is something that we've never been through. So it's not like we have firsthand experience handling any of this. So, and I do like the part that you mentioned that you're happy you have a 10-year-old who's keeping you busy. Yeah. Because when I saw that all the kids were staying at home, and I'm not a parent, so I was like, oh, thank God I wouldn't be stuck with my kid right now taking care of them.
I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky. My kid is pretty damn awesome. Like, he and I have a very, very fun relationship between me pulling pranks on him with an air horn or just jumping out of the shower at him. It's stuff, just this little things that we both live on our toes so much around the house. And it's just fun. Life with him is so much fun. And I truly love it. School sucked. Blatantly, finishing his school year sucked, and I felt really bad for him because it was the first year he went into fourth grade having a male teacher, and he was so excited, so excited, because since kindergarten, first, second, third grade, he's always had a female teacher, and every year they've missed half the year because of a pregnancy. So it's either they didn't start the year or they didn't end the year, but every year he's never had a full teacher for the whole year. And he was like pumped, A, a male teacher for a change, and B, he's going to have the same teacher for the whole year. And then it didn't. It just, I felt so bad for him. And all the kids, like all these seniors in high school going through this stuff. And it's just, I feel bad for them. And online learning isn't schooling.
It's no, not. No matter it's really bad.
How much attention you pay to it, it's not the same. And it's just, and I say I'm lucky because he is one of those kids that he just wanted to get it done. No kid wants to sit in front of their computer and do the work, but he just wanted to get it done. 2 weeks in, we got a mass email from his teacher saying, hey, only 4 of the students have checked in out of the whole class. And he was one of them, obviously. It's like, that comes on the parents, though, to me. That's fully on the parents. Like, hey, just sit with them for an hour. It's an hour a day. Just sit with them and do it and do the work and just...
Right.
It's a complete different mindset that some parents have, and it is what it is. That's how they live their life, but it's an odd thing. So through the quarantine, having him has been awesome. It's just, it passes the time. The days still mold together. I thought yesterday was Friday for the longest time. He had a sleepover last night, and I was like, oh, sleepover on Friday. And then I was like, oh, no, it's Thursday. Never mind. So it's just, that's how the times are.
It's a blur right now. And yeah, it's crazy. Like everyone, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter. Like everyone missed out on something and it's just like wild. And so I want to go ahead and leap on over to your book that you just came on. You just came out with a few months ago. And I know that you were in the middle of a book tour when everything went down. Is that correct?
So I was doing some random here and there appearances. My book released last September, and I did an initial thing, you know, some media stuff for it, and then a couple months off, and then I did some more, and I had a couple more things planned, and then this stuff hit. But that book, it was 3 years in the making, a lot of changes, you know, the writing and the behind the scenes stuff and all that, and the edits and the drafts and the final drafts and the final and the quadruple finals. But when it came out, I'm so, so proud of the finished product. And I say that book, and I've said in every interview, I wanted that book to be like three parts, a wrestling book because that's my audience, so to speak, a family book because of my son, and a midget book. We can use that word. It's fine. I give you permission on that one.
Thank you.
But because there's still, I mean, all the reality shows, the Little People, Big World, Littlest Couple, Little Girls of Atlanta, or like South Carolina, wherever that is. But there's still, my people still have a presence out there. Like,
right.
It's just, it's, so I wanted those three things always factored in. And I feel like we couldn't have done a better job factoring all of them in. It's something I'm very, very proud of. And it started kind of like I guess I'll do it, to like a really passionate project of mine. And I'm very, very happy with the final product. And it's something that encapsulates my whole life that I couldn't be more proud of.
What would you say, like without spoilers, are maybe some of the cool stories that you think your fans would appreciate hearing?
I think, you know, without spoilers, I think just the day of my first debut, there was so many speed bumps that I caused myself that day. The day I found out my son's mom was pregnant, the day I remember, you know, for real life stuff, the day when my mom got out of my life, and I've never been 25 years since I talked to her. And it's one of those things where it kind of, that's like the most talked about thing is, man, like your wrestling stuff in there was so cool and your son's the best, but how about your mom? She's a real kind of piece of work. And I go, yeah, But I'm not going to hide that, because that's not being honest. And it's showing that you can get past that. I don't think about that situation at all anymore, because it's 25 years removed and just living my life now. And it's a speed bump, and it's getting past that and over those speed bumps that kind of makes you who you are, as stupidly cliche as that is.
And obviously opening up about your mom and your family and all of that, it's not very easy for everyone to do. It must have not been completely easy for you to be so candid. Was it easy for you, or how did you feel like opening up so much?
You know what was, it was very easy opening up, and I never have been like a therapy person. People do it and it helps them. That's never been my thing. I've never kind of believed in it for me, but it was almost like my therapy, and almost like this weird, like getting it out there and now it's gone. And then I don't have to think about it anymore. I never have to think about that crap that happened ever again, because I've done it. I talked about it. It's gone. I'm fully going forward now. And it was a weird thing that I never thought would happen. Talking about my grandpa passing away was the single hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, I remember that phone interview, and then they had me do the audiobook, which I'm so proud of.
Wow,
that they had
that's
me
really
do.
Cool.
But like, I did the audiobook, and I'm in the studio, and I'm like, I need to do that chapter last, and that section of the chapter very last, because I'm like burbling, and the lady that's recording it is like, take your time, and I can see her through the window, and she's like awkwardly like, I don't know how to handle this. She goes, just take your time. I mean, we can quit for the day. I said, no, I'm getting through it.
Power through.
Yeah, it just brought all the emotions back, and how supportive he was of me, and how he legitimately was my number one fan and pushing for me throughout life. And then when he talked about when he passed, there's a really funny story. It's a sad but yet awesome story altogether. My grandpa passed away, and he was my number one fan, my hero, absolute hero. And it's the day of the funeral. I am just dying inside. It's the worst day of my life. They're ready to close the casket and, you know, start the funeral part. And I said, I want to be the last one to see my grandpa. It's just my thing. So I'm staying at the casket by myself, like just so many things going through my head. My son walks up to me and he just goes, Dad, what happened to his legs? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, where are his legs? Because the bottom half of the casket was closed.
Oh, I see.
My son proceeded to think.
Oh, no.
And I go, he still has them. He goes, it's good that they get to keep their legs, Dad.
No. What an impression on him.
And now I just go, like, this is the saddest moment ever, but I'm belly laughing at my grandpa's funeral, at his casket, the last person to see my grandpa. And I have to now walk, like, past family and friends and all this to, like, the final prayer thing. And I'm shoulder laughing because – and my dad looks at me and he goes, what's going on? I go, nothing. And I can't stop laughing, as this is, like, the saddest moment ever for the rest of my family. And just – that's the relationship that my son and I have, is he just – he says these things – and it makes me so happy. And like I said, that was the worst day of my life. And he made it the best. Like, he just made it.
Brought a laugh.
He would have never known that would have made my day. And he didn't mean to. He literally thought, when people die, do they chop off their legs? Like, I don't see their legs because the casket's closed there. And it was just the best. And it's one of those things where I look back and I laugh every time, and it makes that day positive. It really, really does. And I tell my dad after, and he looks at Landon and he just shakes his head, because that's how Landon is. He's just fun. And whether he means to be or not, how he says things are just funny, and he's a happy kid.
That's really awesome. Yeah. I love that. Oh, you spent a lot of years in WWE. So yeah. They say that anything can happen in the WWE. What would you say was some of the wildest things that you did in the company that just like really stick out in your memory, like some of those memories?
I say that the craziest part was I got my contract. I got hired by WWE when I turned 20 years old, 2 weeks before that. And 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks into my thing, they have me on the live events every weekend working with Finley on the non-televised events. And then they say, hey, in 2 weeks, you're going to the Philippines. So we need the passport. We need to do this, and we got to get it rushed through. I didn't know where the Philippines were, much less ever be there. Like, this is a small town kid from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I shouldn't be going there. It's just, that doesn't happen. And then a month later, it was Europe. And then a month later, it was South America. And then back to Europe. And it was thrown at me, just completely thrown at me. And I've been using this quote. I'm a big Howard Stern fan, as a lot of people are. And he had Kevin Hart on. And he talks about how, the top of Justin Bieber and how Justin Bieber can be viewed in a very skewed way at times. And he goes, but yeah, he got thrown the world at him and in his hands at such a young age, he's going to make some missteps here and there. And that's kind of like how I view me. I was a dick at times. I will fully admit I viewed myself here at 20, 21 years old, a kid essentially still traveling the world on worldwide television every week. But you kind of got to give him a grain of, a little flack with it, because he's still a kid at heart. And that's how it was for me. It was like, I've never thought about traveling this much. And I wanted to, I dreamed of it, but it should never have happened in all reality. I'm not that 6 foot, 250 pound guy that they usually go for.
Right. So, I mean, that's just wild. It's like you said, like you're a small town guy going in, yeah, like all over the world. That must have been like just really incredible. And one of the things that you had a lot of moments spent underneath the ring. So I kind of want to talk about that. Did you like doing that often?
I loved it. Like it was a blast because it was just different. TV days, when we had the Raw or SmackDown tapings, that stuff. I had a monitor under there, a nice pad, everything. It was great. The live events, the non-televised ones, were like, here's a bottle of water and a Gatorade. Just wait for your cue. Okay. But it was fun. It was so much fun for me every week. Every time I went out there, the reaction from kids, even I was on the bad side of the character, but kids just were fans of me instantly. And I think it's because they thought I was one of them.
Right.
Even though I had a beard and I'm older, but they think like, hey, he's my size. He's one of us. I like him. So it was just a cool transformation of and seeing the crowd kind of shift of, hey, he's doing bad things. That's okay. We like him now. Like it was a neat natural transition.
It was like doing bad things, but in a lovable way. What's the longest that you ever had to wait underneath the ring?
7 hours.
Seven hours?
Yeah, I was under there for 7 hours one time.
Oh, my God. What was that like? Was it like...
I slept.
Were you able to with all the noise?
Yeah, like that was the craziest part, is I could fall asleep under there. And I could hear what was going on above me. Like I could hear the matches just by their movements and the crowd reactions, and not even the matches that I was involved in, but other ones before the match I was involved in on the show, I would know what was going on above me. And it was just kind of this cool, not even being able to see what's going on, but I know what's happening. But I would bring my PSP, my gaming device under there and play that and sleep and just hang out. I was comfortable. I was so comfortable under there. I would get dressed under there. Like I wouldn't even go out my gear. I would pull my gear bag underneath with me and just, I got time.
That's so crazy. Like, I can't imagine being under the ring for 7 hours. Did you ever, like, miss any of your cues? Or was it ever, like, wake up or something? You got to go on. It's your turn.
There is a famous story in the book, actually, that we talk about how I was supposed to do it that night. I was going to do a spot with The Undertaker where Finlay was going to come under, roll me out, throw me in the ring, and I was going to have an interaction with Undertaker. The night before, I was a little overserved on the tour. I had a few too many, and I was sleeping under the ring, and I'm laying face down, and Finlay lifts the apron and just sees me laying face down. He thought I got knocked out from one of the beams. Nope, I was just sleeping. He goes, "Hey, wake up!" I wake up, I look at him. He goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Sleeping." "Well, come on," and he throws me in there. And now I realize, like, oh, shoot, I just missed my cue.
Oh,
and
no.
The Undertaker's above me. Like, I have to do it with him. He throws me in the ring, and the whole time I'm going under my breath, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." It was just like The Undertaker, one of the
legends,
coolest and biggest legends of all time.
Yes.
I'm doing my spot with him that I've done the whole, every night that week. And it's just, yeah, it was awesome. But he gets to the back and goes, what happened? I go, "I fell asleep." He goes, "You fell asleep?"
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things that we look back at and we laugh about so much now, because just the everything leading up to it was awesome. It's one of those cool moments that I'll never forget.
Oh, I can't even imagine that. It's like you're, because it's like when you're asleep, you're in one dimension, and then like waking up like so fast, but then having to go and like do something like that, that's like extremely active. It kind of just like gets you like in a loop where your brain isn't even like completely there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God. And Undertaker afterwards, like, were you like terrified that he was going to be like really upset at you? And like, how did you feel like knowing that, you know, you had that happen?
It was one of those things where I wasn't too worried about it. Because I just laughed it off at that point. And I was embarrassed, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen from here?" But yet I wasn't too worried, because it was just another night on tour. And
true.
We still had another week to go on the tour.
True. All right. That's pretty, I guess it all worked out and made for a funny story.
Yeah.
So obviously during your run, you had a lot of successful storylines. I mean, you were Finlay's leprechaun. You were Vince's illegitimate son, associate member of DX mascot, anonymous Raw GM, and 3MB. What would you say was your favorite?
I always say he is, I will never do something better than the WLC match with El Torito when I was doing the 3MB run. Never. It was the most magical night I've ever had. We went into it and say people were kind of like looking at it and taking it with a grain of salt, like, "Oh, this is just going to be a funny, ha-ha, blow-off match." And we ended up going out there and killing it and just blowing people's minds. And it was the best moment of my life in the ring. And it was just, it's one of those things where it was so shocking for people of how good it was. And it was kind of like a nice way to kind of shove it up their backsides, like, "Hey, don't take us lightly on this, and we're gonna blow it out of the park." And even the people in the back were blown away by it too, because they took it as, it's gonna be a kickoff match and it's gonna be on the, you know, just a kind of a throwaway. But it was awesome. I'll never do something better.
I think some of the best things happen when you like underestimate or don't expect so and so to fulfill whatever it is. And so that's pretty awesome. Now, earlier you mentioned that obviously the company was known for like hiring 6'5" guys, 220 pounds, you name it. When you signed, what were your expectations? Like, did you think you would have all of these opportunities?
No. They originally told me, "All right, it's probably going to be a 6-month gig. And we'll go from there. We don't know where this is going. We don't know what's happening." And 6 months somehow turned into 2 weeks under 10 years.
Wow.
And it's either I'm really, really good at hiding and not getting fired, or I did something pretty okay. It's one of the two. Maybe a little mixture of both. But it's since I was four, I wanted to do this, and this is all I wanted to do in life. But I never thought I would. I mean, I'm a 4 foot, you know, something little person. I'm not their demographic of what they look to hire, especially what they look to keep around, maybe for a one spot here and there, but not what they look to keep around as a every week character. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And it's crazy how, like, almost the thing that you thought was going to keep you away from this dream that you had since you were a little boy, that all of a sudden, like, ended up being the thing that helped you have, like, this long, illustrious career.
Yeah. If I was a normal sized guy, I wouldn't have had that career.
Right,
by any means,
right.
I don't think. While I was doing the book, it got brought to my attention that I had a longer run than Stone Cold and Kurt Angle and all of this, like, it's incredible. It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yes.
I pinned Vince McMahon, something Austin never did, which is so mind blowing. Like, yeah, that doesn't happen. But somehow it fell in my lap and it worked.
And because you got to work so closely with Vince, what was that like? Were you ever intimidated by him?
I was so intimidated, and I think that's one of my biggest regrets in my career there, is I worked with him every week, literally with him, next to him, within these scenes. And I was like, I should have just, like, randomly picked his brain, because he would have answered any question I had. He's that kind of person where he doesn't care. Like, he'll you ask him something, he'll answer it. And I should have just, like, randomly picked his brain. Like, hey, Virgil. How was Virgil back in the day? Like, that kind of, like.
Or, like, even just, like, a word association game or
something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Stupid things like that.
Yeah.
I would have loved. Vince, what's your cheat dinner? What's your cheat dinner? Like, that kind of thing. Like, stuff that he doesn't get asked.
Right. And it's not like he does interviews, so, like, no one knows these things.
It's not about, like, hey, what really happened with you and Bret Hart? I don't care. I want to know how many donuts this guy can put down in a sitting on his cheat day. Like, that's what I care about. And it's like, but that's the stuff that I really wish, I wish I would have taken the opportunity, but I was 21 years old.
And he's the boss.
He's the boss. He can fire me like that. It was so, looking back on it, the Raw 15th anniversary, I started the show and I was the closing shot of the show. It doesn't happen. And I had three other segments on the show besides those. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I know that you said you didn't get a chance to really pick Vince's brain out and all of that, but what would you say was something that you learned from him just from observation, if you would?
About Vince, you said, right?
Vince, or just like about how he handles things, like seeing him work and all of that.
And I just talked about how intimidating he is and how people walk on eggshells, but, you know, around him at times. And everyone, you know, yeah, I get asked every time, is he a dick? No, he's like any boss. If my boss at Target wants this job done this way, and I do it this way, he's not going to be happy. Like any boss. Now this boss runs a weekly worldwide television show, multiple shows a week, on top of running the company, on top of running the merchandise, the advertising, everything. He runs the show. He has his hands in every cookie jar with that company. As long as you do what he asks and you fulfill that, you're golden. Like, and that's just what it is. You're fine as long as you do what he asks.
That's really cool. It's just like really awesome that you were one of those people that were able to work so closely with him. Too bad we didn't find out about his taste in donuts.
I want the donuts. Now I need the answer to, hey, what kind of donuts you put
in. I know. I just feel like giving like those, have you ever seen those books that they give for kids where it's like, oh, tell me about yourself, write in these cute little answers. We need to give one to Vince and like get all these answers
everything, straight out. Everything, with everything, yes. And like have kids asking me. That's what it should be. Like, I don't care about these quarterly meetings and things, stock report. No, I want a kid to interview Vince. That would be the greatest thing. Like a 7-8-year-old kid, just asking him whatever he wants. And it would just be the coolest interview ever in all reality. That's what the world needs right now.
Exactly. Well said. So now, obviously, you mentioned that you were traveling everywhere throughout the world. What would you say was like your most wild travel experience, or maybe something that just went completely unexpected?
My first riding buddies and my first car was myself, Davari, the Great Khali, and Mark Henry.
Oh, wow.
It was a traveling circus. Like, it was crazy. Absolutely crazy. We got pulled over one time, and we always got vans for their size, and I would sit in the back with the bags. We would just put the bags in. I was comfortable. I could sleep secretly back there. Khali would sit up front. Mark Henry would sit in the next thing behind Davari, so he had leg room, and I would just sit with the bags, and it was fine by me. But it was
– You were probably the most comfortable one.
easily the most comfortable. And – We got pulled over. The cop comes up and he asks Devar, "What are you guys doing?" "Oh, we're driving to the next town for WWE." And Mark Henry goes, "Officer, if I open my door, you ain't gonna shoot me, are you?" And the cop goes, "Excuse me?" Mark opens the door. "Mark Henry, how are you, sir?" And then we knew we were good. He goes, "You guys are fine. There's no cop from here for the next 40 miles to the top, wherever you're going." He goes, "You guys go, just take care. Don't go too crazy, but go ahead." We got off perfect. And we flew to the next show. So it was just stuff like that, that little things that make you smile at the end of the day.
What was it like traveling with the Great Khali?
He eats so much.
Really? Like all day?
He liked Denny's, just loved Denny's, because he knew what he could get. He was very new to the country at the time and to traveling like this, but he knew he could order chicken and rice at Denny's, and that's all he would eat is just chicken breast.
Wow.
But dumb, naive Dylan, one day he got up to use the bathroom or take a phone call, I forget, but I ordered him a burger, and in the Indian culture, not good at all. And he came back and his order came, and Great Khali was not happy. And I didn't understand it at first. And then Davari had to tell me and explain to me, because naive Wisconsin Dylan didn't know. So
he probably thought it was like a rib or something on him.
Yeah, I thought it was just a complete joke that he was just, so appalled by this cheeseburger. No, there was good reason. So, but it's, again, once he realized I didn't know, we had a good laugh about it, and he doesn't live it down to this day. So.
Wow. You're just like, now every time I see a hamburger, like, this is the story that I think of.
Yeah, exactly.
What about your favorite or most memorable fan interaction?
I always loved doing the WrestleMania Access every year. Especially in the first two or three, they had Hornswoggle's house, which they had this ring set up, and they had rooms set up under the ring. Like it was a house. They had a kitchen, like all decorated, like in the, like a kitchen and a bedroom and a bathroom and a living room and all this all set up under the house or under the ring. And it was just for me. And like for them to take the time to do that for me was awesome. Like it really, really, they don't do that for anyone. They do the Undertaker graveyard, and that's it for just people's like sections. So for me to have my own section was awesome. And this 85-90-year-old couple comes through my line. They're waiting in my line. They come up and they go, "Hey, great to meet you." I said, "Oh, no, they're just, you know, awesome. Thank you for coming out." They go, "We can go home now. We literally came just to see you."
Aww.
And I go, "This is the sweetest thing ever." It was like the coolest, coolest thing that's ever happened. And it really puts everything in that company in perspective, that they have fans from 8 to 80, and it truly, all kinds of people love professional wrestling and are fans of WWE. And it showed that day, it showed me that.
That's really awesome. I kind of hope that they bring back your little house for Access.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was so
cool.
They
bring back sets for Access, and I want to experience that.
Yeah.
So now let's go ahead and jump into some current wrestling. So on Twitter, you recently tweeted that you were happy about seeing Eddie Kingston in AEW make his debut. Tell me your thoughts on his debut.
I just got like weird goosebumps thinking about him. He, since I've been released, 4 years now, he has been a supporter of mine forever, for this whole time. And whenever I have an issue, he takes care of it very quickly. If I do, and it's never an issue anymore, then Eddie is one of those unsung talents that has always gets to hear, but then always gets, wherever he goes. And I think he'll flat out say he's got the mouth that ruins his career sometimes, because he isn't afraid to be outspoken. And that can be a flaw, especially in this business, especially when you're just coming into a company or just starting. If you're too outspoken, we don't care for that around here. But now that night showed. And I called him, and I never make the, like, "I'm proud of you" phone calls. And I called him. I said, "I never make this call, but I wanted to tell you how proud of you I am. And how you, tonight you showed that you're a full-fledged star. You showed that tonight." Yeah.
What did he say?
He didn't know what to say. He did not know what to say. And it made me feel good, because his phone was, and I told him flat out, I said, "I know your phone's blowing up with text.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. I said, I'm going to call you, and I need to, because you need to hear it." And he said it really meant a lot, because he's confided in me the struggles that he's had with different places. And so for him to get that chance, and he was the most talked about thing from that show by far.
Oh, yeah. And even like before, like the anticipation when people were trying to guess, like, who was going to be coming out.
And it's just, I mean, you start the show with an Eddie Kingston promo. You can't go wrong there. And he just has this intensity. And then you believe his promos, because they're real. They're real promos. They're not this, "Hey, you're going to talk about how much you dislike your opponent. This is how you're going to do it." No, give the guy a mic and he's going to give you an emotional promo, whether he's angry or happy or sad or whatever. He's going to give you that. And then you go on Twitter and you watch his post-match interview. And that's incredible. So I'm so happy that he got that opportunity. And that, like I said, that now everyone gets to see the star he really is.
That's super awesome. What are your thoughts on the current AEW product?
It's fun.
Yeah, it really is, actually.
It's fun. Wrestling is in a weird spot. This isn't, it makes me kind of sad, because this isn't how wrestling is supposed to be, how it's supposed to be viewed, how it's supposed to be watched, how it's supposed to be done. It's literally like watching practice matches every week at times. And it's tough, but they're doing the best with what they have. And that's all you can ask these guys is, you're on national TV every week. How do you still provide that TV show every week without an audience, or with an audience of 40 that are there just because they kind of have to be? Like, they're not real. They're not real fans.
It's a difference. Yes.
Yeah. Way different. It's again, it's like when I go to my school, my training school, and I say, "All right, guys, go do a match. Let's go." And yeah, the other students are cheering and booing and that, but it ain't the same. They're doing it because they have to. And it's just, this isn't how wrestling, and it sucks because this isn't how wrestling is supposed to be.
How do you think you would feel like if you were wrestling right now in this situation like that?
Oh, it's the toughest thing ever. It has to be. My company, ACW Wisconsin, which we'll hit on later, we had a show 2-3 weeks ago. That was our first show back, and we did everything we needed to socially distance and check temperatures and screen and all this to keep people as safe as we possibly could. And it was awesome. We had so many compliments about it. I felt so like good that we had 270 people show up, and they were so happy and safe feeling, but we had a crowd. And I can't imagine trying to wrestle without a crowd, or with this crowd they're just there to be there because they have to be. They don't really care. It's just not the same. This isn't how wrestling is supposed to be. And wrestling is right now, wrestling could be so high with the unfortunate releases and the pickups and all of that. And like wrestling was becoming cool again.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be even bigger when this craziness is done, because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be an all out war because people are going to want those crowds. But it's just not, I can't wait for wrestling to be back.
I feel you 100% on that. Who would you say are some of your favorite young talents right now that you think like people should be a fan of or keep an eye out, or just people that you genuinely enjoy seeing work?
My son loves Aleister Black.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's great.
He is so good. And he's so fun to watch, and just the stuff he does is incredible. I'm a bit pulled because they're my buddies, but Dolph Ziggler is still the best performer on the planet today. No one's touching him ever. I don't care. He has it, and he's always had it. And he's one of those glimmer guys. He shows a glimmer, and then it's like, okay, we'll go to the next guy. It's, come on, just do it. But over in AEW, I love the Lucha Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
They are so fun to watch. So, so fun to watch. Cabana is one of my good buddies, and I'm so glad. Now, it's another guy. Like, look at him. He's grinded to
He's
just
been
have
everywhere.
Any kind of shot, and always been told, that's just not what we want right now. But now he's on TV every week. Colt Cabana is on my television every week. Orange Cassidy, I have arguments with my friends because I've realized with Orange Cassidy, it is a very, you love him or you do not love him. There is no middle ground with him.
No, there isn't.
I do not love him, it's you just don't get him. I love him. Love him, love him, love him, love him. I had a match at Beyond Wrestling with him, and it was one of my favorite matches I've ever had. And it was, again, it's one of those guys where you see him. He shouldn't, you know, if this was 10 years ago, he wouldn't even be bat an eyelash at. He is on national TV working Chris Jericho in main events, in a main event story. Wrestling is so fun.
Yeah.
Wrestling is so fun right now. Once the crowds come back, I can't imagine like they would have done that him and Jericho match in front of a crowd. Like this, the crowd ate him up from the start, and they'd be eating him up so much right now. And
even
so
just the spot where all the oranges fall on them, like that was pretty
it's
fun.
Crazy.
I was laughing so hard during that.
They're having fun, and I like that different stars are getting to shine. And if they don't shine, but you're realizing that if stars aren't shining, all right, let's move them away. Let's try this guy. And you can do that now. Again, you can do that now because there are no crowds. So that's kind of a positive, that if a crowd isn't coming on, you know, adapting to someone, you can easily move them out and try another thing.
Okay, so now we are going to go into the lightning round portion of the interview. So this is just kind of a fun way for your fans to get to know you a little bit more. I'm going to ask you 10 questions about yourself, and you answer them as fast as you want or however you want to go ahead and answer them. So here we go. Are you guys ready for lightning round with Hornswoggle?
Let's go.
Question number one, favorite Star Wars film?
Stop. Come on. This isn't lightning now. This is the worst. This is the single worst thing I could be asked. I don't get it. I don't get the hype. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm a Muppet fanatic, and people don't get that. Star Wars isn't a fanatic thing. It's like a lifestyle. It's a religion to people, and I just don't understand why. 4, 5, 6, they were pretty good. 4 was the best. 1, 2, 3, I will never watch ever in my life. Force Awakens, loved it. Really, really good. What one did we just watch? Last Jedi? No. Yeah, we just watched that one. It was okay. But I don't get why people go so crazy over it. They're just okay. So, favorite Star Wars would be Force Awakens, only because everything else was like, and then the original one, New Hope, I think it's. I don't even know the names. I know Return of the Jedi because Ewoks are my people. Like, that's how I know that movie. That's the only reason I know that movie. That's the only reason I care about that movie. That's the only scene that I enjoyed in Return of the Jedi. Empire Strikes Back was so bad to me. Like, I want to go to Disney. We were supposed to go to Disney, and we had to cancel the trip because of this stuff. I didn't care to go to Star Wars Land.
Oh, no.
But my son loves it. Loves it. I just, you got me real wound up there right away.
And that's just question one.
That's just number one. All right.
Question number two. Favorite wrestler to work in the ring with?
Torito. El Torito easily because we got to shine every time, whether it was a TV match or a live event match. I got to finally show that I could wrestle and show and kind of, again, shove it up people's behinds. Like, hey, I'm not just someone to laugh at and be a ha-ha.
Question number three, favorite dish to cook?
I like making chicken fajitas. It's something that Landon and I really enjoy, and it's something that I really like cooking, period, and he's starting to get into it with me too, which is kind of our thing. We throw on Disney on Pandora. And we just do our thing. And it's again, one of those cool dad and son moments that we really love. That, we do board game night once a week. It's just our thing.
That's awesome.
It's what we do.
That's awesome. Question number four, favorite thing about Disney World?
Oh, that's the hardest thing ever. Everything. The partner statue, which is so crazy, but that's, since him and I have been going, we go every year. And the first year that we went, we had to take a picture in front of the partner statue in front of the castle, doing the hold hands and the point, and we have every picture. And it's like, that's just my favorite thing because we see the growth of him and I and how he's now in the last 2 years surpassed my height by about a foot. And it's just whenever I see that in a picture or anything, the statue, just it's the coolest thing because that's the memory. That's the thing that matters most to me. Just that picture, that statue means more to me than anything.
That's beautiful. Question number five, favorite game on your phone?
I've been into Disney Emoji Blitz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's something I've been very, very into. I took a break from it, but now I'm back. And we played that WWE Mayhem game a lot. We enjoy that. But it's one of those things where you can't put it down. You just keep going, keep trying to level up. And we're up till almost 11:30 playing this stupid game.
Wow.
I realized what time it was. I go, it's time for bed. We just gotta stop.
Put the phone down.
Yeah, exactly.
Question number six, favorite city to travel to?
Anywhere in Wisconsin. Other than that, I would say Orlando because it has Disney. But if not, I hate New York.
Really?
New York and LA are my number one and two least favorites.
Oh my God, that's so funny. And I live in LA and my second favorite city is New York.
It's awful. It's the worst place in the country. 5 miles should take you 5 minutes or less.
It takes you like half hour.
Oh, that's light. That's right now traffic. That ain't normal, but it's, I don't get it. I don't get, like, Hawkins lives out there and I don't get how he has children now. I said, you can't go to a park. You can't plan like a play date because you don't know if it's going to take 5 minutes or an hour to get there. I said, it doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't understand it. If I want to go to Target, it takes me 3 minutes. If I want to go to my parents' house, it takes me 4 minutes. Wow. And I have anything within literally, and I can ride my bike to these, but I'm not going to because I'm lazy. I'm going to get my car. But I have all of these things so close. It's awesome. I'm a small town kid. But it's just because the small town kid mindset. And I just don't understand. I don't understand how people do it.
Question number 7. Describe Ethan Page in 1 to 3 words.
Stop.
I had to.
This was written in by him.
No, actually.
In 3 words?
1 to 3 words.
It's 4 words. Wants to be in shape. He'll really enjoy that.
I'm sure he will.
Ethan Page has turned into one of my best friends. I wake up. He's one of the first people I message every day when I wake up. And he's now turned into a FaceTime guy. Every day when I leave, usually once a week, twice a week, I FaceTime him after the gym. He doesn't understand. I don't think he still gets it. FaceTime is my way of checking in on people. If it's after 11 o'clock at night, people know why. But if it's in the morning, I just want to check and see how their day is going. He lives in Canada. I'm worried about him. But Ethan has turned into such a close friend of mine. I'm happy the position he is, but this will go to his ego once it happens, but he needs to be making millions. He has it.
Yeah.
And once he starts that, I'll be very, very happy for him.
Question number 8, celebrity you are most starstruck to meet?
The Muppets. Legitimately. Nice. Like, shaking. Yeah, like, when they hosted Raw that week, the guest hosted Raw, I got to, like, give them the tour of the backstage. And I was, like, the first person to meet them. And these are, like, my heroes. My legitimate heroes. And they were like, hey, you're the guy with the tattoos, aren't you? I said, yeah, damn right I am. And it was like so cool to me because they knew about me from Twitter, because that week, the week leading up to it, I got double digits of tattoos in 7 days, like of Muppets, just Muppets. And they were like, can we see them? And I was like, yes, you sure can. My pant leg up real fast so they could see they're all there. And they were like blown away by this guy has 22 characters of our characters on his leg. And it was just, I got to hang out with him all day. And it was the coolest moment of my life. Them and Ozzy Osbourne, because my dad is such an Ozzy Osbourne fan. And he's a legend. He's a rock legend. So getting to meet him, and he was the coolest, and he signed a CD for my dad, and it was really, really, a book too, I think he signed. But it was just like the coolest thing ever. But yeah, Muppets for sure.
That's really awesome. Question number 9, what's your most used emoji?
It's the chin one. And
oh, the thinking?
Yeah, and the Pinocchio nose.
Oh, nice.
It's become a thing of mine, and even like now I just do it in public where I just go like this whenever I like I'm calling people out on lies, right? I'm saying that they're lying. And so much so that like Landon will do it, like if he thinks something is BS, he just it's funny. But yeah, for sure, the questioning and Pinocchio emoji.
Love it. And last question, question number 10, favorite thing or place from Ireland?
Oh, Jesus. I'm not really Irish. I don't know if you know that. I'm not really Irish.
I know, but I still wanted to ask.
we should have prefaced this whole interview by that, I guess. That's probably like one of my favorite things, though. Like when people actually, hey, I'm Irish too. And I go, I'm not. Like, I'm not Irish at all. And oh, you are? No. Kid from Wisconsin. Like, there's not many Irish in Wisconsin. I mean, there's one of my coolest moments was my first time there, my first tour there. The arena had this like secret bar in it. And Finley and I's match, I think we wrestled William Regal that night. And we were on early in the show. And he goes, hey, I have to show you something. And I go, okay. And so we walk down this one corridor and then this other hallway and this other, and he like moves this wall and this in the arena and this opens up into this bar. And there's just this full out Irish pub in wow. this arena hidden. It was like you pull the book and the bookcase opens up and there's just this,
and it was those places coolest. Really exist.
Yes. Yeah. And it was just us two. And then like Regal came and then the show was still going on. And we were just sitting in this bar having a beer. And I'm 21. And this is, I'm just sitting in this Irish pub in a secret entrance. And then like a ref like stooged it off later. And then it became everyone in this secret bar, all the roster. And we were supposed to leave at, I think 11. Or you know midnight. I think we didn't leave until 1.
Wow.
On the, I don't think the buses. The you know because we had to bus to the next town, and I don't think we left till 1 or 1-ish, and it was just fun because it was like the camaraderie night. You'd have one or two of those a tour, and the camaraderie nights where everyone's just out and hanging out and having a good time.
That's incredible, Dylan. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for this interview. Before we go, where can people find you on social media?
Because I haven't changed it yet, and because I'm never going to change it yet, even though Hawkins and Ryder keep yelling at me, on Twitter, at WWE Hornswoggle, on Instagram, at WWE Hornswoggle. You can follow my independent company, ACW Wisconsin, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it. Other than that, hit me up for books, for anything. Bar mitzvahs, I'm on Cameo like everyone else. But yeah, at WWE Hornswoggle.
Awesome. Guys, please make sure to follow him. Check that all out. I'm going to have all of the links in the description box below so you guys will know where to find everything. Please let me know what you guys thought of this interview by leaving a comment in the comment section below. Give this video a like, support the channel, and do not forget to subscribe. Thank you so much to Dylan. Thank you so much for everyone watching. Until later, we'll see you guys next time. Bye, everyone.